you cannot find success in life without ego. You know, and I'm not talking about the guy who can't walk through the door because his head's so inflated, but you've got to be egotistical in nature to really get to the big show and do the big crazy things. The difference being is you got to have an ego and not be a jackass, right? That's the massive difference. Without that ego, you're not going to get where you want to go. But that same ego, if you don't keep it in check, will be the damn sure thing that will keep you from finding success, because you're going to burn the wrong bridges. You're going to get to this place of where you expect things to happen for you because you've hit a certain level in life. And the moment you expect things to happen because of some sort of past history is a moment you lose.
The idea of job security is outdated as a landline. If you haven't been in a search for a while, it's probable you will at some point, by choice or not. Most executives admit to staying way too long, or sense what's coming, and justify staying anyway. Here, there's another reason. The faulty belief that navigating to what's next will inevitably be worse and has to suck. Screw that. Lauren Greif has spent a lifetime in corporate and executive search, calling bullshit on stale career advice that most still use. This is Career Blast in a Half. The career podcast for executives ready to cut past outdated career advice to fuel your outcomes now. So let's go.
Hey, hey, hey. I know that there's a goat in the house. Literally. The greatest of all time is the acronym for GOAT, but the guy that we have on today is more than just a goat in the acronym sense. This guy is a goat lover. He brings baby goats onto LinkedIn. And the reason why he's here is because I've been struck by Donny Bovin for so many reasons. Great content, community builder. But the thing that I've often found to be most surprising is he's the guy that appears one way, but actually is very much the opposite. And what I'm talking about specifically is I always thought that Donny would be this like big macho guy because he takes up a lot of room and in a good way. But what I've really come to understand is that he is all about other people and sharing that spirit of generosity and building community. So Donny Bovin, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for talking about this very topic of let go of the ego.
Lauren, thank you so much for this. It has been so fun getting to know you. I love hanging out with you. I loved our couple of conversations we have. I love how you show up on LinkedIn. I love all you do. And listen, I never thought in a million years posting baby goats on LinkedIn was going to be a thing. Like, it's gotten to the point now that if I don't post baby goats on Sunday, I get DMs and messages now.
Where are they?
So I actually, in Sunday's post, I actually put in the comments a message somebody actually put in a post in LinkedIn of what, no goats today? So I copy and pasted that and put it into the post for the baby goats. So it's funny. Never in a million years would I thought that was going to be a thing.
So one of the things that I also wanted to talk about is, like, you're a military guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you started off like hardcore. And so bring us back to what was the idea behind being in the military and what it was that really kind of set that wheel in motion for assessing maybe confidence and ego and putting these leadership principles together and building community. So all of these things sound like they have an unrelated thread, but in your case, not at all.
Well, let me forewarn your listeners. I just talk like I talk. So the reason I went to Marine Corps is because I was a shithead in high school. Like most of my freaking teachers passed me on and told me they were doing it because they didn't want me back the next year. So I really never learned grammar or math while going through school. I mean, I did, but to this day, I don't know where the hell commas go. I don't know why there's three twos, you know, in a sentence. It just makes no sense to me. So luckily, and this is all seriousness, LinkedIn taught me how to write, which is a story we can talk about later. But, you know, for me, my oldest brother had gone to the Marine Corps. I had no direction in my life, and I just knew college wasn't going to be my thing. So I'd love to say that I was standing up for America and all that stuff, and it was patriotic duty. No, I had nothing else to do. So I signed up for the Marine Corps and went. Did 4 years in there, and you know, I knew it wasn't for me. I don't regret going through the Marine Corps by any means, but you know, I'm not a guy that wants to be told what to do. I'm not a guy that wants to follow rules and order. And I spent 4 years of somebody telling me what to do, following rules and order. So when my time came up, you know, I came out, and people often ask me, you know, what my biggest takeaways from the Marine Corps. And I can tell you, mom and dad raised a good kid. So Marine Corps taught me, you know, a lot of bad habits that, you know, we'll save for another show, but it was a good run, good experience. But I mean, I still got buddies that I talk to from all over the world and all walks of life that I would have never, ever been introduced to had I not gone through that experience. So then from there, I spent 25 years as a sales guy, and a hell of a journey from a blue collar kid where dad was a truck driver, mom worked in a blue jean factory, to now running my own damn company. It's pretty wild, pretty wild.
So you mentioned that the Marine Corps, you know, gave you some good, you know, seed planting, and you got out. What made you go into sales? What made you like?
It was not a choice. It was not a choice. So, my first job when I first got out of the Marine Corps was working for my best friend and his dad doing HVAC, heating and air conditioning. And so I was the grunt. So I was a guy climbing under houses, up in attics. I mean, it was miserable. Texas, 110 degrees, hot, hot attic. So I was going to quit and not do that job. And the day I was going to quit, I remember getting out of the truck and Jerry, who owned the company, he looked at me and he said, "Oh, that's the I'm going to quit face." And I'm like, "You damn right, I'm done." He goes, hold on. Before you quit, I need you to try something for me. I said, "Jerry, I'm done. I'm not going any more attics, no more underneath the houses. It's filthy, nasty, I'm out." And he said, "Before you quit," he goes, "tomorrow, I want you to come put on a polo, put on a nice pair of blue jeans, you know, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop you in a neighborhood. You're going to go knock on doors. And if somebody lets me come look at their system, we sell them something, I'll pay you money." I said, "Wait, I don't want to climb in attics. I don't have to get all dirty and nasty." He goes, "Nope." I said, "I'm in." He goes, "Now you need to understand something." He goes, "You're not making any money unless we actually sell something." I said, "I don't care. Right? I can figure this out." So Jerry would, he'd take me to a neighborhood. He'd drop a cooler of water behind a bush of somebody's house. And my job was to go walk that neighborhood. 3 weeks went by and not a soul. I mean, I talked to a couple people. I had so many damn doors slammed in my face, but not a soul would let me in their house. Well, one day, 3 weeks in, Jerry goes to drop me off in the neighborhood. He goes, "Oh, crap, Donnie, I forgot your water." He goes, "Well, get it off somebody there." You know, and so I didn't have any water. 110 degrees out. I'm walking door to door. And so around noon, I get to this house, knock on it. Lady answers the door, sees I'm a solicitor. She goes to throw it. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry." I said, "Can I just get a glass of water?" She goes, "Oh my God, bless your heart. Come in. So I go in her house, sit down. She goes, "All right, well, you're in my damn house. You might as well tell me why you're here." And I said, "I really don't know." She goes, "What do you mean you don't know?" I said, and I tell her the story. I'm like, "Jerry drops me off in the neighborhood. I knock on a door." And she goes, "Well, what does he need you to do?" I said, "Well, he needs to come look at your heating and air conditioning system." She goes, "That's it?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Call him up." I'm like, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah." So I called Jerry. I'm like, "Jerry, you're not going to fucking believe this." And she goes, "What?" I said, "She wants you to come look at the AC." And he goes, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." So he came in and we sold her like a $100 deal and I made like $5. I promise you, for the rest of that summer, I had to pee so bad because every house that somebody answered was like, "Can I just get a glass of water?" That's how I got in the house. And so I got into sales completely by accident, all because I didn't want to climb, you know, up in attics and under houses.
It works. And I want to introduce this thread of ego versus confidence versus believing in yourself versus having humility, because all of these seem to overlap. And for our audience, who are primarily job seekers and people who may have been in very high positions and had that corner office, or you know, ran a team or handled a huge P&L, I'm curious where you see the difference between mastering a level of confidence, even having some swagger, even being able to hold yourself up and pump yourself up when you need to, and making sure that the ego is in check.
100%. So I should say that I went from that guy climbing under houses to inside of corporate America, working through the entire promotional hierarchy up to a partner of a sales training firm. So I've done the full gamut run all the way up there and then launched my own company to get there. I will tell you in the words of my wife, you cannot find success in life without ego. Like, if you don't have some sort of chip on your shoulder, you know, and I'm not talking about the guy who can't walk through the door because his head's so inflated, but you've got to be egotistical in nature to really get to the big show and do the big crazy things. The difference being is you got to have an ego and not be a jackass, right? That's the massive difference. And I love the way that I show up because I'm a blue collar kid, wear t-shirts, ball caps. Like, I don't traditionally look like, and a lot of times if you talk to me, I'll come across very straight, blunt, to the point. But I'm also the guy that'll stand on stage and tear up when I tell about my story of my wife and I almost losing everything as I build a business and stuff. You know, I have a lot of passion to pour into people. But without that ego, you're not going to get where you want to go. But that same ego, if you don't keep it in check, will be the damn sure thing that will keep you from finding success, because you're going to burn the wrong bridges. You're going to get to this place of where you expect things to happen for you because you've hit a certain level in life. And the moment you expect things to happen because of some sort of past history is a moment you lose. And I got a huge story about how I learned this the hard way young in my corporate career, if we want to talk about it. But yeah, ego is going to get you there, but it's also the thing that's going to cost you everything.
Before we get into that story, I'd like to know, okay, so here's the caveat, right? It's okay to have an ego, but you want to keep it in check. And so how do you check yourself? How do you check yourself?
Yeah, you get punched in the face enough that you learn that you got to turn it off in certain rooms. You know, I think that to rise a corporate ladder, to run a company, you know, Steve Jobs said it the best. The only people that can change the world are the ones crazy enough to believe they can. And you've got to be that cocky in nature to actually go for something really that big, right? But the trick of the game is, we're not Steve Jobs, right? We're not Elon Musk, right? We're not freaking Jeff Bezos. You know, be more like Richard Branson, right? Who comes across like a genuine dude who doesn't want to eat your face off every time you talk to him. But, you know, you learn either you use and abuse people or you respect and love people and you can get the same results out of them. And I just found along the way that I didn't like being in the rooms with the big ego guys and gals. I didn't want to be in the rooms where it was dog eat dog all the time and everybody was stabbing each other in the back trying to climb that corporate ladder. I got a lot further in life by getting to know people and investing time with them. I knew I belonged in the room with all those heavy hitters. That was never a problem for me. But I also wanted to know the people. And I think the being raised by a mom who retired as a receptionist, being raised by dad who retired as a Xerox technician, you know, people mattered. And so for me, it was the combination of knowing I belonged in the room, but I also gave a damn about the people along the way. I wasn't going to step on anybody. I wasn't going to stab anybody in the back, right? I was going to take care of myself and get mine, but I wanted to make sure other people came along for the ride. So I think for me, it was a lot of making sure I value the people as I really progress forward in companies.
So in today's world where there's a lot of noise on LinkedIn, there is a lot of noise in the job search, right? People are needing to sell and promote themselves. I mean, goodness gracious, right? I mean, we're all in the business of sales. And I actually had my hand slapped last week because somebody said to me, "Ooh, you know, Lauren, you can come to this meeting, but don't be hard sell." And I thought to myself, we're all selling, you know, you're selling your candidacy, somebody else is selling a book, and maybe somebody else is selling a service. So what do you have to say to folks that are in, you know, either a pivot, a new career, about their ego and being able to kind of adapt some of what you have said for them. I mean, as they are networking, as they are in position, for some people, they may be challenged and not feeling necessarily a level of confidence, right? And other people may be over-indexing in this area. So, so how do you, in this spectrum, where and how do you personally, or even advice to others, how do you find your footing?
Yeah, I always tell everybody, shoot for things that they don't think they're ready for. Like in my case, it's shoot for stages that are way out of my realm, right? Or shoot for podcasts that are so massive that nobody thinks you can get on them. You know, shoot for the moon, because you know you can handle it and be on that moon, right? And then you can get along the way. But also understand that your network, the people you surround yourself with, if those people are telling your story, it has 10 times more power than you telling your story, right? So I try to always look at it from perspective, how do I go as big and crazy as I want to, but do something for other people where they start talking about me, where they start bringing my name up in conversations, right? There's a tremendous amount of power there. And I think, you know, when you get to a place like when you're looking for a job and there's a lot of desperation in play, right? You struggle tremendously to want to be around a lot of people because this dog eat dog is like, God, I got to get a job. Or when you're trying to get on those big stages, or, you know, your ego is, I deserve to be on those stages. Why the hell are they not giving me the shot? You know, and for me, it's the same for the freaking moon, because if you fail, you land amongst the stars, right? So it's go bigger than you think or expect you can go and see what opportunities pop up. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I went for the president's job and I didn't get that, but I did get a vice president's job, you know, right? They shot big and took one tier down. Where I think gets a lot of people in place is they are a vice president and think that, you know, the world should be on their fingertips and, you know, that the world owes them something. And the quicker we can get to a place of understanding that the world doesn't owe you a damn thing, it's a good place to be and get to really damn quick. So shoot big, take care of your network.
Shoot big, take care of your network. And so I have to ask you, with all this kind of like knocked down on the knees and doors slammed in your face, like, what's happening in your private moments? What's happening when your ego gets bruised? Because that's going to happen no matter what, no matter when, is part of life. But how are you, how do you either address it in the moment? Because it's always different in 2020 hindsight, right? How do you address it in the moment? And what do you do to come back and show up maybe bigger, better, stronger, or differently?
So I want to bust a myth for people. I think people, when they meet somebody who's confident, assume that they don't take it personally when somebody slammed the door in their face. They assume that we don't take it on the chin or think about it, or, you know, you're never going to turn off the give a fuck. That's all there is to it, right? When something happens to you, you're going to take it personal, unless you are somebody like an Elon Musk that doesn't have those type of emotions, right? I mean, you're a robot at that point. So you're going to take it personally. The trick is to use it as fuel and not use it as something that beats you down. So I've, over the years, like if somebody says something stupid, even on a post, it's going to take me 2 seconds to go, God, why the hell would they say that? And then go, all right, now we're in. You know, I'm still, there's things that have been said to me over the years that I can still pull up right now and get freaking just rip roaring pissed about, right? And I found that if you can take that rejection, that thing, and go, hold my beer and watch this. You don't think I'm good enough for that job? Watch this next thing I'm going after. Right? Watch me do this. And I'm never the kid that grew up and had people looking at me going, you're nothing. You're not going to be making anything of yourself. I never had that in my life. So I had to flip the script and go, how do I create this environment of, it's not people saying I can't doing it, but what would work for me that allow me to get that same type of feeling? So I did this when I was launching my company. I started creating this whole fantasy story in my head. And I literally, and I still do this today, picture myself standing in the middle of a stadium with hundreds of thousands of people in the crowd. And I keep looking at it from it, the perspective that everybody's watching to see if I quit. Mm. And, you know, the trick is they don't want me to quit because they can jeer at me. They're wanting to see if I will quit, because if I quit, it makes them okay to not go for it. Because if Donnie can't do it, I can't do it. Now, there's nobody around me that's in that watching me or has that idea about me or anything. But I picture this environment and what this ability of having all these people watch me and to see if I will validate their fears. Like, so Donnie quit, so I can't go for it. I'm not going to let them down. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to quit, because I'm not going to make hundreds of thousands of people not go for it. Right. So for me, it's a way to take all the jeers. It's a way to take all the hate and anything that happens to you and go, man, everybody's watching, dude. You can't turn off. Let's go another round. Right. So let's take this thing that somebody said, I didn't get the job, I didn't get the promotion, I didn't get the stage, whatever, and go, man, them sons of bitches have no idea what the hell they missed out on, because watch what I do next. And it's not always easy, right? Sometimes you get your heart set on something. You're like, God, that's the one stage I want to be in. That's the one job. That's a dream job. And you don't get it. Those sting a hell of a lot worse. But you got to look at it and go, man, how many other people in this world got rejected from their dream thing? You know, and I love bringing up like the things like Michael Jordan getting kicked off his basketball team, Shaquille O'Neal getting kicked off the basketball team, and the guys and gals who have done these cool things where people said, you know, you're not ready for this. I mean, Michael Jordan invited that high school coach that didn't let him play the freaking game to his freaking Hall of Fame speech just to say, I told you so, right? Mm-hmm. I love that idea of creating that environment and then using it as fuel. Doesn't mean it's not going to sting, but now we're going to use it and actually fuel up the rocket and go after it for another round.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot to this because it's very competitive out there in the job market, especially at the executive level. And so in those private moments, and rebuilding that confidence, because we all get knocked down. What you said is true, right? Just because you have the resilience doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't sting, right? Yep. Those two things can exist and coexist together, and I think that that's very normal. But if you were talking to an executive and you were in this position, what would you say to them when they start to fatigue, when they start to go through that burnout, when they start to get to that place where they feel like maybe, you know, there isn't a lot of hope and they're watching maybe all their friends or colleagues be in the positions that they feel rightfully, not necessarily owed, but rightfully to earn? What would you say to them?
You know, I love watching documentaries. Mm. I love watching people's journeys. And right now I'm watching the Rise of the Lakers fame. And it talks about those years. And it's phenomenal. I mean, I think oftentimes we get to see the wins of people's life. It's like everybody thinks that everybody's living this Instagram life where it's all glitz, glamour, and amazing, right? You know, we get to see the results, not the work it took to get there. So I love watching these documentaries because for me, when you see, you know, Dr. Buss, who created the Lakers to the fame they are now, or you see Steve Jobs and all the things he went through building his stuff, and you read these fantastic stories of these people, what you see is they just ate shit a little bit longer than everybody else. Right? They stayed in the game. And I think truly the only people who find success in my thought process are the people who are too dumb to throw in the towel. Because look, there's so many times if I built my company, it's the best example I can use here, where if anybody else saw the shit that I was putting myself through, would have logically said, this is stupid, dude. Just go get a freaking job already, right? You know, there is no reason for anybody in their right mind to put ourselves through the hell it takes to build a company. And it's the same thing in a job search. It's the same thing in freaking trying to get that promotion. Right? you're going to eat a lot of shit along the way and do a lot of things that most people won't continue to do and stay in the freaking game. So it's not a motivational thought process. This is not a hoorah speech. This is, if you want it, then the successful people stay in the fucking game. It's really that simple. Persistent pays off over time. And if you've never read Napoleon Hill's short story, 1 foot from gold or 3 foot from gold, it's the absolute damn truth. I mean, most people throw in the towel right before it's going to get good. And what's funny, I've had people say, well, how do I know I'm 3 feet away? Well, I'm like, well, you'll sure never figure it out if you stop now.
Right.
You know, so a lot of it, I mean, there is no motivational speech or anything that's going to rile them up. It's literally one step forward every day. Keep taking it on the chin. Keep doing the things you know that you need to be done. And eventually it's going to break loose one way or the other.
Mm. So let's talk about what you, all the stuff that you do to be okay. able to show up as you do. What are the things that you do for quote unquote maintenance to keep your ego in its high vibe or your confidence in a place that is restored for every day? Cause I mean, you run a working farm on top of all of this stuff, on top of a business, on top of all these things, running a community, active on LinkedIn, you know, arguably somebody might say, who has time for all of that? So what do you do to be able to show up and have all these things pulling at your strings?
So someone paid me a compliment once upon a time that said, the most fantastic thing I love about you, Donnie, is your ability to be disciplined as fuck. To the point that somebody told me I had fanatical discipline, which I thought was a cool combination of words, right? I'm a routine guy. And if I don't have routines, my day is chaos. So, but I'm also, I like public accountability, almost to the point of public shaming, just because I know what it takes to motivate me. So like, I knew I needed to get more fit this year, right? Now, health was something I needed to work on. So to do that, I signed up for a Tough Mudder in October. And then I went straight to LinkedIn and told everybody that I signed up for a Tough Mudder in October. Why? Because now I got the whole world looking at me and seeing if I'm going to actually do the work to get to the damn Tough Mudder, right? It's public accountability. And, you know, already along the way, I ran a 5K. I aimed for 30 minutes. I ran it 31:25, you know, so, which just a funny side note, if I ran that slow in the Marine Corps, I'd been kicked out of the Marine Corps, but I digress. But for me to be able to get in shape and manage the farm and to do all the stuff on LinkedIn and do all the speaking and do and run all the community and do all that stuff, the only time I can work out is I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning to be at the gym by 4. Right. So 4 to 5 times a day, I'm up at 3:30. I get to the gym by 4. And I'm blown away by the number of people that are in there at 4 o'clock with me, which I was not expecting. But I get back to the house by 5:15. And from there, I sit down and I write my LinkedIn, right? Post my LinkedIn by 6. And then between 6 and 7, I go wake up the farm. And I go let all the goats out, the chickens out, dogs out, you know, and get the farm going. So I'm on LinkedIn while I'm opening stalls and feeding hay and do all that. So by 8 o'clock, you know, 7 o'clock, I'll come in, cook breakfast, you know, finish up all the LinkedIn comments and like get a shower and everything in. So by 8 o'clock, I sit down and I'm on and I'll run back to back meetings. I got lunch on my schedule in there because if I didn't, I wouldn't eat. And I'll run that all the way up to 5, 6 o'clock. And then, you know, 5, 6 o'clock, I'll usually go down and hang out with my wife. I'll cook dinner. We'll eat by 7. Her and I will usually watch a couple of shows that we've done. And then usually by 8 o'clock, she's off to take a bath. I'll come up here and literally play games with my nieces and nephews. We'll go play Fortnite or the likes. And then in bed by 10, rinse, wash, repeat. And on the weekends, you know, we're primarily working on the farm. Most Thursdays, I do take off almost a half day to work on the farm with Elizabeth, my wife, and do that. So this isn't the hustle and grind lifestyle. I tell a lot of people this kind of momentum and all the things I do, and they're like, yeah, you're just one of those hustle guys. No, I'm a farm kid, and there's a massive difference. Like on the farm, my goats can't let themselves out. They can't feed themselves, right? They can't put themselves up. So it's not the hustle and grind. It's do the fucking work until the work is done, right? I get no choice in the matter. Like if you have a three-year-old kid, which we never had kids, right? That kid can't feed itself. It can't take it. Like you have to do those things. Goats are the same way. So I don't care if I went and partied my ass off with a bunch of friends. I got to come home. I still got to put the goats up. Right. Every morning, I still got to get my butt up and put the, you know, let the goats out. So it's not the hustle and grind. It's doing the things that I know is going to push myself forward. So, and there's other things in there too. There's, you know, I don't meditate, but I will sit on the back of a tractor for a couple hours. Same kind of process.
So this is really great because I think that we all have a different expectation about how long things should take, when they are due to us. And your attitude is, you know, just do it until it's done. Let's keep it real simple. And I love that. What I want to move over to is I know you are a huge community builder, both in and off of LinkedIn. I also know that you have some really wonderful stretch goals for speaking publicly. And, you know, I've raised my hand and it's not forgotten. When somebody says I want to do something, I always keep my eyes and ears out for for those opportunities. I just have like a weird brain like that. You put it out there. I'm gonna help you align to it, whether it's manifesting it or connecting people to those opportunities. But what I wanted to also ask you in the spirit of ego and confidence is to talk about the value of community, whether it be on LinkedIn or offline, and also using that as a value that you actually, and I know you're a big networker, a value that also works in both directions. In other words, it can reinforce your confidence and ego, and it also can give that to somebody that you may never even really have a full-on relationship. And how does that become so innate and natural for you? And what would you tell people that are maybe resistant to networking or being on LinkedIn? I don't want to comment. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'd love to hear your POV on this.
Well, great question. A lot to unpack there, but I got it all. So was back up to where I said when I'm going through high school, I didn't learn grammar. I didn't really learn math and all that. So if you go follow my original post back in early 23 on LinkedIn, you're going to laugh. My misspelling, my bad grammar, it was horrid. But LinkedIn taught me how to write because enough people busted my chops over the things. I get all these DMs with screenshots. Hey, do you see this? You know, which was great because it taught me a lot of things. And then ChatGPT came out and I had a grammar editor and it was beautiful. So for me, I've been networking for a very, very, very long time. I was capable of doing cold calls. I was capable of doing door knocking, right? I had careers where I've made a lot of money doing those things, but I didn't enjoy doing them. And so I found networking because it became a means to do business development without doing the cold calling and door knocking, the things I didn't want to do. So, and to this day, I still teach cold calling by standing in front of a room doing live dial so people can go hear both sides of my conversation. You want to see it, just type in Donnie Bovine live cold calls and you'll find videos on YouTube. But I don't want to do business that way. So I've done it through networking. And I just sort of realized early on that if I can connect people with the right people, that usually people want to come back and help me, right? Mm-hmm. And if they don't, I will teach them how they can come back and help me. And so that's always been valuable as a lesson in the whole. So once I saw somebody like a Leah Turner go from like 4,000 followers to 130,000 followers, I watched Liam Darmody go from about 8,000 followers to his almost 40,000 followers, you know, and I was watching these people's stories unfold on LinkedIn and them build businesses because of this type of success. I'm like, okay, I'm missing a huge opportunity here. I'd done all the networking in person. but I hadn't really successfully done it online. Like, I have a Facebook group to this day, still has 2,000 people in it, but it's dead and dormant. We don't do anything with it. So I'm like, okay, how do I recreate this environment on LinkedIn? So I just started putting out content, no clue what the hell I was doing. I was just trying to follow what Liam, Leah, you know, Deanna Russo and some others were doing. And in doing so, I found my voice along the way. So for most people, start putting out content, and I'll teach you a couple of things that I use to be able to put out content, but just small things, comment, engage, and don't worry if anybody comments or responds on your stuff. Give it time. It's going to come. It took me, I don't know, 6 months before I felt like I got traction on LinkedIn. It took me 9 months to get to 10,000 followers, and then things started moving a lot faster. It took me 11,000 followers before somebody reached out and gave me my first speaking opportunity, and literally that speech as we're recording this happens tomorrow. I hit 12,000 followers, and you know, more people started coming to me with other opportunities and offers. Our community offline started growing tremendously, you know, but it took time. So I want people to understand, as we record this, I'm a year and a few months into my LinkedIn journey and sitting on, you know, over 12,000, you know, followers now and growing at about 100 followers a week. And that all came from consistently showing up, consistently putting myself out there, jumping on virtual coffees with people like Lauren and getting to meet people, you know, offline, off LinkedIn, if you will, and on Zoom calls. And collaborations happened, opportunities happened, to the point now that you'll talk to somebody and you're like, well, you know, so-and-so. And they're like, no. I'm like, wait, how the hell do you not know them? You guys are common, you know, and you know, you realize how small of a world it is. But community makes everything grow. And as I built my business, one of the stupidest things I did was made myself an island. And what I did is, my business was on the rocks really bad. I mean, we almost lost our farm to foreclosure. My wife had her Jeep repossessed. You know, but she literally had to go cash in her 401k to get her Jeep back and save our farm. And going through that moment, I didn't let anybody know outside of Elizabeth how bad things were. Because if I thought if people knew how bad business was, nobody would ever do business with me, right? So I didn't lean on any friends. I didn't have a community to fall back on. I was trudging through that shit all on my own. And you want to talk about a lousy way to do anything in life is trudge through a whole bunch of shit alone. And I'd only been surrounded in my life by people that wanted to be down in the ditches with me, right? So if life was bad, they were like, yeah, life sucks, right? And that was the people I knew most of my freaking life. And it wasn't until I started sharing how bad business was and the like that people started leaning in. And I realized, man, there's people that are cheering me on when I find success. There's people that are cheering me on when I'm going through. There's people I can lean on and have ask questions to. And God, community has been everything to save my mental game, to save my business growth, and just get me around some amazing people just like you.
I'm so glad that you said that, because not the comment about me necessarily, but you know, being an island, and I know that for many, many job seekers, it's happening behind, you know, their heads down all day long, apply. And it's hard to know what normal is. It's hard to know what any of that is, because you're in your own echo chamber. And that can be a lonely and sometimes loud place. As quiet as it is on your own, there's sometimes those voices are the loudest ones in the room. So I'm going to switch over to our signature questions, because I know you are somebody who, you said it, but you didn't even need to, because I kind of suspected that this was the case, is you like discipline, and I like discipline too. I actually have a number of reminders that I keep on my post-it area of my desk. And so I'm curious if you have one, if you have a daily reminder. I see something behind your head, but some kind of, you know, post-it that keeps you in the game. Is there a saying or something that you lean on?
So I thought I was uncoachable most of my career. Like, I literally didn't think that I could take advice from people. And it's because I've always had a chip on my shoulder. Until I met a young lady by the name of Mandy Morse. And Mandy became my therapist for a couple of years. And I think if anybody's never been through therapy, you're really missing out on a hell of a personal evolution. And along my therapy journey, Mandy made me write this down, and I have it on a journal. I have it on a post-it note, but it's, you're a good dude. And I think for a lot of my journey, because I carried myself so loud and my ego needed to be checked a couple times, I didn't think I was always a good guy. I didn't think I always did right by people. So you're a good dude became a constant reminder. I even get a little teary-eyed just saying it, but it became a constant reminder of that. I've done some really good shit by people, right? I've really taken care of a lot of people, offered a lot of good times, and helped a lot of people get further in life, careers, you know, the companies. So it's a huge reminder for me that, and I think when you have a reminder, it's got to be that. It's got to, if that reminder doesn't tear you up somehow, then it's not a strong enough reminder. So, mm-hmm. But you're a good dude. It's always been mine, at least since mm-hmm. I met Mandy.
Fantastic. So I'm curious, like, I know you're a big reader. I know that you like get invested in other people's work. Who are your go-tos? Any like you just talked about documentaries. Is there a place that you go outside of the documentaries or literature or readings that is like, okay, this is what helps me build my muscle of confidence?
So I'm fascinated with Walter Isaacs. He's the one who wrote Steve Jobs documentary, did Elon Musk documentary. And I really love his writing style. Right now I'm big on sports documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I mean, I grew up in the self-help books, right? And what I realized is the self-help books weren't doing shit for me. There was a lot of, they just weren't working for me. I think it's because it was a lot of floof and not a lot of tangible things that I could take away. But documentaries became my thing because it was almost a roadmap. When you hear the struggles of somebody else and what they've gone through and what they endured, you're like, my God, if they endured that, you know, like Elon Musk, just put it in an example, not to keep harping on him, but the dude had 3 rockets blow up trying to launch SpaceX. He had to go to his freaking friends and beg for money to be able to do the 4th rocket launch. That 4th rocket launch, had it not gone off, SpaceX wouldn't be a thing, and the privatization of going to space wouldn't be a thing. And I don't know if that's a good thing or bad, but you know, but to endure that, the shit I'm going through is nothing in comparison, right? You know, and so that's the strength for me. But you know, I'm heavily invested in coaches, but I only invest in coaches that have done and accomplished what I want to accomplish. So like Jerry McNamara, who's my coach right now, that guy, you know, has been on the Inc. 500 list several times, you know, and done some business, just done a lot of really cool things. So, but that's it for me, man. It's really documentaries and getting around amazing people.
And lastly, what's your walk-up song, Donnie?
What is my what? Sorry.
Your walk-up song. What's the song that you want to have?
Oh, It's My Life by Journey.
It's My Life by Journey.
Yep. So that whole first part of that up until the chorus, I played at every summit that we do. So we have the Badass Business Summit every year. That's my final walk-up song. It's my life. It's my journey. Nobody else is going to do this shit for you, right? So we got to take up and do it ourselves. I named my company Success Champions because you got to be the champion of your own success. Nobody else is going to do this for you. Yeah. So yeah, It's My Life by Bon Jovi. That's my song.
That's your song. And I love it. And I want to sing it along with you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And thank you for everyone for listening today to Career Blast and a Half.
Can I do one thing for you really quick, Lauren?
Sure, absolutely.
So guys, if you hung out with us this entire time, do Lauren the favor and take a screenshot wherever you listen to this, post it on social media, tag me in it, tag Lauren in it, tag Blast from the Past in there. If we see it, I'll come comment on it. I'll come engage, bring my audience right along for the ride. But you know, there's a lot of time and energy it takes to put on one of these podcasts, and growing your audience, having my own show, is one of the toughest damn things in the world. But by you taking a screenshot of this show or any other show that she puts out there and just telling people about it, it's like giving her a virtual hug. So make sure you show and share this out to the world. It'll mean everything to her.
Thank you, Donnie. That was so sweet. If you enjoyed this episode, do what Donnie says. And also, please write a review on Apple. And please share this with a friend and tell us the topics that you are so excited for us to be covering, because we want to be here and serve you and get in your ear with the kinds of things that keep you rocking and rolling. So thanks for joining us today, and we'll look forward to seeing you on another Career Blast and a Half.
Thank you for joining today. We appreciate your listening ears, big time. We ask this: use these tools, not tomorrow, right now, and share them by spreading the love, leaving us a rating and subscribe so you don't miss the next Career Blast in a Half. Most of all, thank you for you.